Oh, you mean the one that went in where Pick and Save's at?
Yeah.
Lots of people in there. I don't know if it's something. Maybe they bailed out of the one on the other side of the freeway. Cost too much or something.
I don't know what's going on. It must be a benefit to somebody, but not to me.
Okay, we were just talking about something. Okay, is it preaching today and driving straight through?
Oh, that's Lindsay's dad.
He's gonna preach today, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
We wanted to catch them before they head out.
Yeah. How you doing, huh? Yeah.
Okay. All right. A lot of people out of town, some sick. We need to pray for Joy here this morning. I just got a text from her this morning and said she was having trouble breathing and was headed for the clinic. So we'll be sure to pray for her here in a minute. Any other prayer requests that... Mark? Okay. Mike?
Continue to pray for my brother-in-law, Felix. I went to see him yesterday, and he's very, he's alert, and he looks, he's not eating too much, but he's eating a little bit. And just keep on in prayer that he would get his strength back and be able to get out of that rehab pretty soon.
Okay. Is everything functioning like it's supposed to?
Yes, but he's very weak.
Oh.
Straight out to 120 pounds.
Wow.
From 150 or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else going on? Okay. We got... Yes. Oh, I'm sorry, Tom.
Yeah, I have unspoken prayer requests.
Okay, all right. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day you've given us. Thank you for each one here. Thank you for safety for Tyler's parents getting down here. And pray for Lindsay's parents and sister as they travel this direction as well, and give them safety as they travel here tomorrow on out to see grandparents, and they have a safe, enjoyable trip. We pray that you'll continue to work in Mark's mother's life and help her to have interest in the subjects being discussed in these workbooks, and be things that could be of help and encouragement to her. And you'll work through that even to help her see her need of trusting Christ for salvation. Pray that you'll give Bob Pruschek wisdom and decisions he makes. For Michael Paul, you give him courage as he's struggling with taking care of his mom's belongings and you'll be able to get that taken care of soon. Pray for continued strength for Felix. Thank you that he's alert, and but he needs strength. You're the giver of strength that he might soon be able to be up and about and able to be going back home. We ask that you'd meet the needs there for Tom, an unspoken request. Your will might be accomplished in that. We do pray for Joy today. I don't know all details there, but having trouble breathing and going to the clinic, pray you'll give the doctors their wisdom and knowing best how to treat her and that she soon might be feeling better. Pray that you'd help the Zilkies and others up at camp this weekend to have an enjoyable time, and that they be challenged through your word, and as well as having good fellowship with other believers there. We ask that you guide us in our study here now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're looking at lesson two here in your books, stirring up your memory, okay? that wasn't by taking a stronger cup of coffee, but stir up your memory. We're looking at 2 Peter, if you have your Bibles there, chapter 1. Be looking at verses 8 through 14. The key verse today is actually out of verse 10 that says, "Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." And we'll see, we'll come back to this verse here in a little bit. But Peter last week was encouraging people towards spiritual maturity, to take the necessary steps to help them to grow in their spiritual life. And he's continuing on with that here today. And just kind of get our thinking going. You think about, you know, I say picky people. Different people might come to mind for different reasons. What are people tend to be picky about?
Food,
yeah. They like this, don't like that. what was it? Was that President Bush that didn't? Yeah, broccoli. I was going to say, when you're their president and they're picking up what you eat or don't like. And there's probably some of that. For all of us, there are some things that we just like to take a pass on. As you can tell, I like most food. But liver and onions? No, thanks. I think I had to eat that a couple of times as a kid, and it never grew on me. But, yeah, we can be picky about food. You know, some people are that way about their lawn. Everything's got to look, you know, just so. And bottom line is, though, how picky or how concerned are we about our own spiritual life, our spiritual growth? You know, does that bother us if we're just kind of letting whatever happens happen? Or are we... are we dissatisfied and want to do something about it? So anyway, Peter's talking about this, and we see here that, and we'll see that towards the end of the lesson here, but he's getting towards the end of his life. He knows that. The clock's ticking, and so he wants to make the best use of the time that he's got left, and part of that is to stir up believers, to help them to want to have a fruitful life. And we're looking here at 2 Peter chapter 1, and pick up there in verse 8. He says, "For if these things be in you," and he's previously talked about different character qualities back in verse 5 and following, your faith, your knowledge, your temperance, your patience, godliness, kindness. He's saying, all these things, if these things be in you and abound, okay, so there's a good showing of those qualities in your life. It says, "They make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, some of these, well, I guess it works that way in math, but it also works that way in English. Two negatives, what? That's not the answer I wanted to hear. Well, yeah, we've heard the saying, two wrongs don't make a right, okay? But that doesn't qualify here. But in math, you get a negative and a negative, and it turns it to a positive. Well, anyway. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So that's what he's doing here, and I don't want to get too tangled up in the words that are used, but he uses two negatives to try to get a positive across. He says, neither shall be barren nor unfruitful. Okay, so it's not fruitful, okay, which really gives it the opposite side of that. But he does want us to be fruitful, okay? Now, what does it mean to be a fruitful Christian? You know, we're going to start growing apples and pears and... Mark?
Living your life the way the Lord teaches us in Scripture, or maybe like winning souls. He who winneth souls is wise.
Yeah, okay.
Proverbs teaches us. Right.
Yeah, there's, okay, you think if you've got a fruitful tree, okay, and we got a pear tree in our yard, and some years it's more fruitful than others. Somebody said it's like every 2 years there's more than another. I haven't really kept track of that, but you expect there to be fruit on it. Now, the one that really has lots of fruit is a crabapple tree. What good are they? It just gives you exercise raking up all the apples. Or if anybody can figure out something to do with that, let me know. We'll bring you a bushel basketful. Huh?
I can think you can make jam.
Do you want some of the apples? I'll eat the jam if you want to make. Yeah. I'm sure that you probably need lots of sugar to make that work. So, well, okay, so there's evidence that this tree is alive and well. And so as a Christian, if we're fruitful, there's good evidence that we're alive and well, not just physically, but spiritually. There's these qualities that he's been talking about are evident for other people to see. Not that we're showing off, but we can see that there's good growth that's taken place. And ultimately, it's not for our glory, but for God's glory. We want to be, the army that had that? Be all you can be. Well, that's what we're to be spiritually as well. And he talks about two different outcomes from this out of verse 8. He says, here again, this double negative. Believers are not ineffective, or you could take out all the negatives and just say believers are effective, okay? We're not to be barren. We're not to be like a tree with no fruit on it, okay? And we're, as Mark mentioned here, to live godly lives, and in doing so, we can see that God's working in and through our lives. We see here, secondly, that another double negative. Believers are not to be unproductive, okay? We are to be productive. We are to be fruitful. And thinking about our behavior, it produces, like a fruit tree produces fruit. Here as Christians, we produce spiritual fruit. Even at some of those things that are mentioned there, faith, knowledge, temperance, patience, you know, those are qualities that I think anybody would like to have in our lives, but there's not a vitamin pill for it. There's no easy fix for it. And I think we mentioned this on Wednesday night, but last Sunday we talked about fruits of the Spirit. Can we as individuals manufacture the fruits of the Spirit? Can we put miracle grow on it and cause us to have love, joy, peace, long-suffering? No. Those are fruits of or by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that makes, brings out these qualities in our lives. He develops them. Now, we have to be willing participants in it. But nevertheless, it's the Holy Spirit that brings about these changes in our lives and helping us to mature spiritually. You know, if a child, you know, they got different books, you know, that say they ought to be doing different things at different ages. And, you know, they may not be going exactly by the book, but you can kind of see how they're to be progressing. And if they're not, then well, let's see if we can figure out why. Well, same thing in our lives as Christians. We ought to be progressing in our spiritual life. You know, are we any different than we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago? We ought to be able to maybe not chart it, but realize that, you know, things are changing in my life for the better, okay? It's not just simply because I'm getting older, all right? I realize that might bring about some changes, but whether it's you become more patient or other qualities that the Lord wants to develop in us. And again, we ought to be demonstrating Christian character in our lives. He also talks about here, if you look on into verse 9, but he says, but he that lacketh these things, okay, we're coming up short in the Christian character qualities, he says, is blind. Whoa, that doesn't sound too good. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Okay, so let's look at this for a little bit here. He says, so if you're lacking some of these Christian qualities in your life, he says you're blind. And saying blind doesn't mean you can't see anything, but your eyesight is affected. And I wasn't always able to keep that straight. Okay, people say I'm nearsighted, I'm farsighted, or whatever. I just hope when I put these on that things come into focus. But he's saying we can't see afar off. Now, he's using this eyesight as kind of an illustration. It's not just that I can't see across the road to City Hall, but he's saying I'm not looking towards the future. You know, I'm pretty much just focusing in on the here and now, what's before me right now. And it's like, we've forgotten, he says we've forgotten, that we were purged from our old sins. We've forgotten what the Lord's done for us, that he's died on the cross for us. And we're having, I guess we have a communion table set up here, but we'll have communion. It's to remind us of what Christ has already done for us, that he died on the cross for us, and that he shed his blood for us. We need to remind ourselves of that. We ought not to forget that. And that's why the Lord talks about bring us into remembrance of what he's done for us. And if we're not thinking back about what Christ has done for us, we're very likely not to be thinking ahead either. We're not thinking about, okay, Christ died for us. He saved me. He saved me to serve. Am I serving the Lord? How am I going to serve the Lord tomorrow, next week, next year? And so he wants us to be thinking ahead. You know, we can't change the past, right? We can learn from it, but we can't go back and change it. We don't get any do-overs. The only thing that we can change is what? The present and the future. Okay. And so we may have messed up, made some wrong choices in the past, but we can ask the Lord to help guide us to make right choices today and tomorrow and in the days to come. And that's what he's talking about. He'll talk about this. He wants us to look on into the future, to be even thinking about what's it going to be like when the Lord takes us home and we see him, you know? Is that something we're looking forward to? Is that something we even think about? Does that ever cross our minds, you know? Or even the rapture, you know? Are we tuned in, listening for that sound, that trumpet sound, when the dead in Christ shall rise and we which are alive and remain are caught up to be with the Lord? So he's saying, don't forget, don't have spiritual amnesia about what has taken place in the past. He says instead, look at there in verse 10, he says, therefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Okay, so he says, give diligence to this. You know, put this, be mindful of this. Take time to think about this. And he says, make your calling and election sure, your calling. Well, what's this calling? Well, the Lord has called us. You know, he's called out to us to come to him. You know, we see Christ talking about that. If we're weak and weary and need of rest, we're to come to him. But more than that, we need to come to him for our salvation. And we trust the Lord as he calls us, we respond in faith. He says our election is sure. The Lord has called us out. And then he says, if you do these things, he's talking again about these different character qualities. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Does that mean if you are diligent in developing, and with the Lord's help, developing these spiritual qualities in your life, you're never going to sin? No. That'd be great if it did, you know? It'd be awesome if when we trusted Christ, we never made wrong choices after that. We never sinned. No, we still have that capability. We still, it would be nice if we exchanged the old sin nature for the new sin nature, or for the new sin nature, for the new nature. Yeah, we don't need a new sin nature. That old one's bad enough, right? We have both within us. And you've probably heard different illustrations of that. You know, somebody talked about an old Indian, you know, and said, you know, which of these grows stronger? And he says, it's like my dogs. It's whichever one I feed is the one who gets stronger. So if we're feeding the old nature with the old way of life and the sin and everything else that goes along with, that's what's going to kind of take over in our lives. But he says here, if you do these things, you know, Lord's never going to change. Okay. Same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not going to say, you know, when I, that John Doe, you know, I think I made a mistake here. You know, have you ever done that? You maybe you bought a house, maybe you bought a car, you bought something, and you think later, I don't know if that was a good decision. this thing's costing me a lot of money, you know, or whatever the problem happens to be. Okay, I can only remember part of the joke. That's dangerous when you do that, right? And this guy, this city guy, comes driving down the road and he sees this farmer out in the field with this really good-looking horse. And he stops and says to the farmer, I want to buy that horse. And he says, no, I can't sell it, you know. And he starts offering him more and more money, you know. And the farmer says to him in amongst all this negotiation, he doesn't see well, you know. Well, the guy ends up buying the horse, takes him home, come back a couple days later. He's, you sold me a blind horse. He says, well, I told you he didn't see well. Well, sometimes we don't see things well either. That's why we need the Lord to help us to make good decisions, because there's a lot of things we can't see. You know, there's things behind it that we need to know about. But we don't want to have spiritual amnesia. We want to remember what the Lord's done for us in the past. And what does it do for us to look forward into the future? And we see how the Lord's going to, what the Lord's got in mind for us. It gives us hope, doesn't it? Okay? You know, you listen to the radio or you see the news or you read a newspaper or something, and there's not a lot of hope there. You know, it looks like things are circling the drain, you know. But who's in charge? Is it just the guy sitting in the Oval Office, you know? No. Yeah, well, we won't go there. But yeah, right. I think the guy who's writing the stuff on the teleprompter is the one that's really running things. But but anyway, you know, the Lord changes us from the inside out. We see a familiar or a verse that you probably know, and I tend to forget whether it's 1st or 2nd Corinthians, but it's actually 2nd Corinthians. Let's see if I can catch up to that here. 5:17, if any man be in Christ, and that's what we are when we trust Christ for our salvation, we're in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things become new. Okay, so even though we may look like the same person as we're looking in the mirror, God's saying, I've changed you. Okay, what has changed us when we trust Christ for salvation? What's different about us? Pardon? Okay, our outlook on life. All right, maybe we're not. Okay. Okay, God can give us peace. We've seen that. He's able to give us peace in the even in the midst of storm.
Like what you were saying, we know the future, so we know where the winner's side. So we're gonna, yeah, we're gonna do what He wants us to do to expand His kingdom. And,
yeah. Isn't that's something? Do we know? And I shouldn't even get off onto this. Are the Packers going to have a winning season?
Who cares?
There's that attitude again. or that other team up there, and where's that? Minnesota. Are the Vikings going to have a winning season? Are they going to beat the Packers this year? We don't know how that's going to turn out. You know, we like to have winners, right? It's more exciting to cheer for winners, but we don't know how it's going to turn out. But we do know God's given us the last chapter, okay? He tells us, folks, we're on the winning side. You know, there's going to be some dips and valleys along life's journey, but ultimately, we're on the winning side. And when this life is over, okay, the best is yet to come. Now, we tend to keep wanting to kick that can down the road. We want to live around here as long as we can. And then we get there and think, why did I want to hang around down there so long, you know? But, yeah, He's changed us. He's given us a new outlook on life. We know where we're going to end up, okay? It's not a, well, we'll just, and some people have that. Well, we'll just have to kind of wait and see how it all turns out, you know? Or, you know, it's sad, but, you know, there's still an awful lot of people out there that think that at the end of all our life, you know, we're going to get the old balance scale out. We're going to put our good works on one side and the bad on the other side. And hopefully there's enough good works to tip us towards heaven as opposed to tip us towards hell. Could we ever have any hope, any assurance, if that's the way it worked out? How are you ever going to know? Maybe you needed one more good work and you come up one short. I mean, it's one thing if you miss something by a mile. It's another if you come up, you know, it's like the ball games and you lose by 1 point. And you know, oh, if this and this had changed and I could have done this. But God doesn't do that, okay? Jesus did all the work that was needed. What we need to do is to believe and trust what he did was for us. And so thing is, he wants to make our salvation secure, okay? He says, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Can we do anything to make our salvation any more secure than it is? Okay? Yeah, no, there's not. Okay, as cars get older, sometimes you have to add fluid, you know, adding oil, adding water, what stuff leaking out, whatever. But there's nothing we can add to salvation. Jesus, when Christ was on the cross, he said, it is finished. He said, everything that needed to be done has been done, you know. And 3 days later, he's resurrected. And we see that everything that he said was true. So we can't add anything to our salvation. Growth in Christian character doesn't add to our salvation. That doesn't make us more saved than we once were. There's no works that we can do that's going to add to it. Thing is, it's like I said, it's a one-time decision that a person makes to trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And there's not something that needs to be kind of sprinkled in along the way to keep us saved, okay? The Lord's the one who keeps us saved, right? If it was up to us, what would we do? Like our glasses. Did anybody else do that? Where's my glasses? Where's my keys? You know, where's... what else do we lose? Maybe anybody ever lose these? That's why you keep your landline. So you have a phone to call this to find where it's at, right? And hopefully it's not turned off or sound turned down. Yeah. We'd lose it, okay? We'd mess up somewhere along the way. The Lord's keeping track of that, okay? And so he wants us to do what we can, though, to develop those Christian qualities in our lives and to stay on track for the Lord. And we need to keep a good, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father and with the Lord Jesus. That's an ongoing thing. How many of you still have close friends that maybe you went to high school with? How does that happen? You keep in contact with one another, don't you? If you quit calling or however you communicate, things kind of, yeah, things, we don't really know what's going on in their life and other things take its place. Well, same thing with the Lord, okay? Now, again, we don't lose our salvation, but we can kind of lose contact in the sense that we're not talking to him regularly. How's God talk to us? Right. Let him talk to us. It's a two-way conversation. We listen to what he has to say, and we talk to him through prayer. And we need to keep those communication lines open. It's like in a marriage, one of the biggest problems that people have is a communication problem. Okay? Somebody comes, and I realize I'm using old illustrations, but it's like the phone. Somebody either pulls the plug or you cut the line. There's no more communication. And so we have to keep the communication lines open between us and the Lord and so that we keep in a close relationship with him. And as we're doing that, again, we want to... Okay, here's a question sometimes I pose, not always to people, but I think in my own mind. Why do people want to go to heaven to be with the Lord when they don't seem to want to spend much time with him here and now? You know? If we don't want anything to do with him now, why do we want to go to heaven? You know, and be with the Lord all the time? I don't know. That's probably not a question not everybody's able to answer, but it, you know, if you don't want to, you don't want to go to church, you don't want to be with other believers, fellowship with other believers, why do you want to go to heaven where you're going to spend time with the Lord and be surrounded by other believers there? You know? Well, he wants us to look forward. Again, it's not just making it till our funeral, okay? Life, there's a transition there. I look at it as the last breath on earth, the next one in heaven, as for a believer, okay? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we ought to be looking forward to that time when we're going to be with the Lord. And he touches on this there in verse 11. He says, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so we all look forward. You ever thought about, I mean, there's, I don't know why Peter gets all the neat jobs. You know, it's, who are we supposed to meet at the gate? Who said it's going to be Peter? You know, well, at least in all the stories, Peter, St. Peter's there and he's taken down and he's looking to see if you're on the list, you know. You're never going to get to the gate if you're not on the list, folks, okay? Your name's written down in glory. Your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only believers are going to get there. They're not going to be turning people away at that point. But we look forward to that time and being a part of his kingdom. And how far are we away from that? Yeah, a blink. You know, a fraction of a second. What is it, 10 to 10? We can be in heaven by 10. Isn't that so? I mean, and it doesn't take that long. It won't be a 10-minute trip, all right? Yeah, the Lord's, and there ought to be some excitement there. I don't know what you, do you get excited when you get going on a vacation? Okay. You're looking forward to this. Some say, you know, half the fun is, you know, planning for it and getting ready. You know, there's a lot of work sometimes getting ready for it, but anticipation of it, you know. And we got to be excited about going home, okay? See, it's kind of been the other way around. We've really been on vacation all the time we're here. When we go to heaven, we're going home, okay? You think about vacation as someplace where you spend just a little bit of time away from home. Well, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever the Lord happens to give us, it's going to seem kind of small. Well, like when we sing that song, when we've been there for 10,000 years, you know? And I don't know how much the Lord's going to let us remember back here. You know, hopefully it's going to be selective memories. We just remember the good stuff and forget the other. Again, showing up as a fruitful Christian, you know? Because what do we do when we get to heaven? What's one of the things that's going to happen?
We're going to work.
Yeah. And boy, has he got a job for you. They've been storing up stuff for Tammy to do for a long time. About time you showed up. Get to work. Okay, the judgment seat of Christ. All right, does that make you a little nervous? As you know, it's I shouldn't ask this. But, anybody been to the principal's office? I've been there. Anyway. It wasn't anything really bad, but that's the ultimate fear is for a kid is having to go see the principal, all right? Because he's got power to do whatever, you know. Call your parents. Oh no. Yeah, so we're gonna our life is gonna be judged. Now, there's no condemnation. What do we have the potential of losing though? Rewards, okay? We might walk out of there Well, I guess I got a few nickels and dimes in there. Usually you don't have anything. But yeah, we walk away from it kind of empty-handed. He gives out rewards. We can lose them, or he can reward us. Now, again, is that so that we can kind of strut around heaven? We get this. What is it? The Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, they get the sash or something, and you got all these different, not medals necessarily, but badges. You got all these badges. You know, everybody goes, wow. Or you see these military guys have been in for 30 years, the generals, and it's, well, the funny one is when you see the Koreans or whatever, and their whole jackets full, they're running them down their pant legs. Now, where did they gain all those medals? I don't know, but yeah, so we can be rewarded, but not for bragging rights. It's when we comes time to worship the Lord, we're able to give it to him because he alone is worthy, you know? And how are you going to feel if you're standing there, again, pockets inside out, really didn't do much of anything for that 70, 80, 90 years the Lord gave us, or what we did for self, for our own ego, or that of boys, pats on the back from somebody else. We weren't really doing it for the Lord. But, you know, Lord's, he wants us to be thinking ahead, you know, planning for it. You know, it's, we know it's coming, okay? It's not like, you know, you've been in class for considerable length of time, and all of a sudden the teacher says, put away your books, get out a clean sheet of paper, we're going to have a test. Oh, a pop quiz, a test. I didn't know there was going to be a test, you know? Well, there's going to be a test at the end of this life, right? And we want to come into that test having studied up, being in good shape, you know? And again, Peter says, Lord, I don't have an awful lot of time left. But he says, I'm going to use that time to help stir up the believers, get them thinking, get it, anticipating what's coming. Look at verse 12 and following. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. He says, I'm not going to be goofing off. I'm not going to be negligent. I'm going to be putting you in remembrance. I'm going to keep stirring things up. I want to remind you of these truths, okay? And there's a lot of things we know, but it's good to have a reminder. It's kind of the oh yeah moments. He says, verse 13, yea, I think it meant as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He says, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, as long as he's still in this body. What was the tabernacle? Was it a big stone building? That was a tent, okay? He's talking, his life is like a tent. It's a temporary dwelling place, okay? And that's what this body is. We're not going to, Lord's going to give us a new body. Okay, it may look like the old one, but it's going to be new. It's not going to fall apart like this one does. But he says, as long as I'm here, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to keep on stirring up your memories, reminding you of things. And he says, verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. Okay, he says, I know I don't have awful long to live here. And, you know, we don't know if we have long to live or not. You know, I think about this. I don't know why I've used that as some kind of a measuring point. But as the grandkids have come along, you know, I think, okay, how old am I going to be when they graduate from high school? Now, me being at their high school graduation, probably not going to mean an awful lot to them. They're excited about graduating. Okay, big deal. Grandma and Grandpa are here. But I think, Alex, wow, you know, that's another 14, 15 years, you know. Will I make that long? And if I am I going to be in any kind of shape? They're going to be wheeling me in, you know? I don't know. What's going to happen? Lord does. But he says, he knows he doesn't have long to live. But he says, as long as I'm around, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. Verse 14, knowing that shortly I must put off this, my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus had showed me. You know, the Lord had told him that one of these days, well, I mean, we're all going to die one of these days. But he, in a sense, had told Peter, you know, you're going to die for your faith here one of these days. And we don't have it here in Scripture, but historians tell us that they were going to crucify Peter. And he did not feel he was worthy to die like Jesus did. And so he asked that he would be crucified or put to death upside down, you know. And we don't know for sure if that's exactly what happened. But the thing was, all of us are in danger of being preoccupied with today and tomorrow and what's next week, okay? Now we have to plan. I mean, I got this stuff coming up next week and you got to figure out how everything's going to fit. You know, most of us haven't figured out how we can be two places at one time and so on. And I thought, that's a good thing, isn't it? Imagine how tired we'd be if we were at two places at once, okay? But, you know, at the same time, we need to look beyond that, okay? And again, Lord may give us 10, 20, 30 years, whatever. Tyler, you've got a whole lot of years, you know. to come, you know. But we don't know how long the Lord is going to give us. But are we thinking about that time when we're going to be ushered into the Lord's presence? You know, are we excited about that? You know, we think, I'm fit, I'm ready. You know, I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing, doing my best with the Lord's help. Or it's, wow, I don't know how that's going to work out. Do you ever have some classes that you didn't necessarily put your best into it? I was thinking about that. I had French class, 7th and 8th grade. I remember very few words of French. And at that point, I went by Dave. And I don't know how many times I heard, "Ferme la bouche, David." That means quit talking. Apparently I must have talked a lot in class, but it wasn't probably French. And okay, so you could take French in 9th grade, but you had to do well in 8th grade to go on. And she calls me up towards the end of the school year in 8th grade and says, "Were you planning on taking French next year?" I said, "No." She says, "Fine, I will pass you." Otherwise, she was going to flunk me, so I couldn't take it. But she is a dear lady. I wouldn't want her job. But anyway, yeah, you know, do we know we're putting our best effort into it? I know I didn't in French class. I just, it didn't interest me. Now, it would have been kind of nice to have been able to speak another language, but I'm still trying to learn English. But, you know, that's coming for all of us. And so the Lord wants us to kind of keep the future in mind, too. Not just consumed with the present, you know, or shedding tears over the past, but looking forward. You know, what does the Lord want me to do today and tomorrow and the next day? And then as far as these character qualities, asking the Lord, you know, and it's not just we're going to wake up someday and we're spiritually mature. There are things that we need to do along the way ourselves. whether it's reading our Bible, taking time to pray, witnessing, seeking to serve the Lord, use the talents, abilities that God's given us along the way. You know, are we doing those things? You know, those are just kind of the basic things. So that when it comes time to, that's probably not a good image to leave for you, but standing before the principal, standing before the Lord, you know, and he knows everything, you know, we're not going to pull the wool over his eyes. Are we going to hear, well done, a good and faithful servant? Or is it next? And so we're in a position now where we can make changes, okay? And so if there are changes in our life we need to make, I trust that we might be motivated to do that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Peter had some insight that we don't have in the sense that he knew his time was short. We don't know if ours is short or long or what, but in any case, he wanted to use the time that he had to stir up believers to get them thinking about their spiritual life. You know, we can get picky about a lot of different things, but are we at all interested in our own spiritual growth? Are we motivated to grow? I pray that your Holy Spirit would do that work in our hearts and lives so that we would be thinking about eternity, about the time when we're going to come face to face with the Lord. And have we been seeking to develop those qualities with God's help into our lives, and that we give evidence of a believer? And it's one thing to say we are, but do we back it up with our life? We thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for coming. Still got a few more books if anybody needs one. Anybody? T-shirts. You need to pick up one of your little communion cups if you haven't done that already.